This is Michelle, MichelleBenthamCreates.com, Michelle Bentham Creates Podcast. I'm on Facebook, Michelle Bentham Inspired Artist and Communicator. You can follow me on Twitter at Michelle Bentham. So excited that you're joining me on the podcast and the video blog today so that I can continue to share Matthew chapter 10 with you. Now, we're going to pick right up where we left off, which was with Jesus sending out his disciples and empowering them with the same authority that he had to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, do works and signs and wonders and miracles, the works that Jesus called the works of his Father. And we ended up in verse 15, where Jesus is telling them, go into the towns, don't take a backpack, don't take money, don't take anything with you except for the clothes on your back, the shoes on your feet. Go to a house that shows you hospitality. If they show you hospitality, stay with them a while, the entire time you're in their town. Bless them with all the blessing that's on you. And if they don't, shake the dust off your feet and move on. And he says that even Sodom and Gomorrah would be more blessed than those who reject his disciples when they come to call and minister. You know, I think that's something important to remember, that Jesus has a promised reward for those who follow and serve him, that belong to him, that are found in him, that find their identity in him. And there is a promised consequence for those who reject, spurn, and despise even those he sends as well as himself. So we have to be very careful that when we ask questions of Scripture, that we make sure that when we hear something or sense something or see something or feel something, that our experience lines up with the character, the nature of God, that it lines up with the truth revealed in Scripture, that this word, this written word in its many translations and interpretations and versions is the revealed word of God to us. In other words, Scripture, written word, is the primary way God reveals himself to us. Scripture is primary. Christ is preeminent. Isn't that good? So I'm just jumping on today to jump right back into Matthew chapter 10. Are you ready to get started? If you haven't read Matthew chapter 10 for yourself, maybe this is your first time to jump into one of my podcasts. That's completely fine. You just don't know what we're talking about. So what I encourage my audience to do is just grab your favorite translation of the Bible, your favorite version of the Bible, read it for yourself, jot down what you hear the Lord speaking to you through Scripture, either in the margins of your Bible or in the journal that you keep or a notebook of some sort. Then press play again and we'll read through it together. We're going to be beginning in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 today. Father God, we just come before you. We thank you for such a beautiful day and beautiful weather. You know, last week I posted on my Facebook page a live prayer for the flooding in our area. We had tremendous floods. I've talked about it on the podcast, talked about it on the blog, and talked about it on Facebook Live as well. And we had tremendous flooding in our area last week. Just heavy, heavy torrential rains. We had kind of this tropical depression kind of system kind of sitting over all of Texas last week. And it just dropped buckets and buckets and buckets of water on us. And so we've had many people affected by the floods. And our Father in heaven is so good. Because God, you delivered us from the rain. Even the day after we prayed to you corporately and asked you to just send off the rain and call off the flood. You did just as we asked, and we were supposed to have rain right through tomorrow, but you said you were going to do something different, and we haven't had rain since. You know, we've had it off and on, but just little showers here and there, God. But you know, we haven't had any heavy rainfall for the last 3 or 4 days, and that is just powerful to me. I thank you that's who you are, that you're the God who answers our prayers. So today as we read your word, God, we just incline our ears towards you. We open our hearts to you. We say, we're your sheep. We hear your voice and we want to hear from you. Thank you for always being good and gracious to us. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for calling us by our name. Thank you for making us your own. Thank you for sending your son to die for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 16, and it begins with, "Listen, I am sending you out to be sheep among wolves." He's still talking to the disciples that he's sending out. "You must be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." You must be careful. You must be discerning. You must be on your guard. There will be men who try to hand you over to their councils and have you flogged in their synagogues. Because of me, naysayers and doubters will try to make an example out of you by trying you before rulers and kings. When this happens, when you're arrested, dragged to court, don't worry about what you will say or how to say it. The words you should speak will be given to you. For at that moment, it will not be you speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You know, if we flip over a few books to the book of Acts, to the passages where Paul ascends as Saul, the Pharisee, to the stoning of Stephen, we read that Stephen had just this experience that Jesus talked about. A moment where he was being heavily persecuted, and God opened up heaven, gave him revelation, and he spoke that revelation, not as himself, but the Holy Spirit through him spoke. That's a powerful word. The words you speak will be given to you, for at that moment it will not be you speaking, it will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Your task will be fraught with betrayal. Brother will betray brother, even to the point of death. Fathers will betray their children, and children will rebel against their fathers, even to the point of death. Do we not see that in our world today? Do we not see children killing their fathers, fathers destroying the lives of their children, abandoning their children before they're even born? When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next town. This is the truth. You will not be able to witness to every town in Israel before the Son of Man comes. Everyone will hate you because of me, but remember, the one who stays on the narrow path will, until the end, be saved. And a student is no greater than his teacher, and a servant is no greater than their master. It is sufficient if the student is like his teacher and the servant like his master. If people call the head of a house Beelzebub, which means the devil, just imagine what they're calling the members of his household. Don't be afraid of those who may taunt or persecute you. Everything they do, even if they think they are hiding behind closed doors, will come to light. All their secrets will eventually be made known. And you should proclaim in the bright light of day everything that I have whispered to you in the dark. Whatever whispers you hear, shout them from the rooftops and the houses. Whatever whispers you hear, shout them from the rooftops and the houses. It doesn't get any plainer than that. When you hear the voice of the Lord and you know you're supposed to share it, you're compelled to share it, be bold in your declaration of His truth. Make sure it lines up. Make sure you're interpreting it correctly, that you're not filtering it through your own perspective. You're not filtering it through the woundedness of your heart. You're not filtering it through offenses that you carry. But rather, you're filtering it through the Word of God, through the person of Jesus Christ, through the character and nature of God. And if it produces fruit in keeping with the Holy Spirit, declare it boldly. Declare it boldly. It's a good word. Don't fear those who aim to kill, just the body, but are unable to touch the soul. The one to fear is he who can destroy you, soul and body, in the fires of hell. That's God. Look, if you sold a few sparrows, how much money would you get? A copper coin apiece, perhaps? And yet, your Father in heaven knows when those small sparrows fall to the ground. You, beloved, are worth so much more than a whole flock of sparrows. God knows everything about you, even the number of hairs on your head. So do not fear. Here's what he's saying, I believe. I wrote a question mark out there, but do not be afraid of those who may taunt or persecute you. Here's what I wrote in my note. Just because others do not agree with me does not mean I am all wrong. I cannot allow the judgment of others to discredit the work of God in my life. And we can flip over to Timothy and hear more of that affirmation that Jesus is speaking here and through the Apostle Paul to Timothy. God values me. This is where I come out. You, beloved, are worth so much more than a whole flock of sparrows. God knows everything about you. Even the numbers of your hair on your head. So do not fear. God values me. He knows everything. And still Jesus says, do not fear. There's a caution from Jesus. Do not set anyone, not even close family, in God's place in your life. He acknowledges this may test relationships. That's where we're going right now. He said it before. Let the dead bury the dead. Leave your father and your mother and come follow me. And here we go again. He says, whoever knows me here on earth, I will know him in heaven. And whoever proclaims faith in me here on earth, I will proclaim faith in him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me here, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not imagine, there's that imagination word again, that's a real creative word, that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn men against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, and daughter-in-laws against their mother-in-laws. You will find you have enemies even in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, then you are not worthy of me. See, we can't set anyone in our life as an idol in our heart before God. You can't let what somebody's speaking into your life, when you know that you know that you know, when you've read his word and gotten familiar with who he is, and you know that you know that you know him, when you begin to hear him, when you begin to process what you're hearing, when you begin to live out of that truth and that revelation from a divine perspective rather than a human perspective, recognize that those closest to you may be the ones who oppose you the greatest. But what he's saying is, don't let that persuade you away from me. Don't let that persuade you away from Jesus. He loves you so much. He has so much for you. He doesn't want you to let other people steal it from you. It's a good word. If you love your father and mother more than you love me, then you are not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than you love me, then you are not worthy of me. You know, I've experienced some of this firsthand. I had set an idol up in my heart with my father that I always sought his approval. I didn't much often gain it because the ways I went about trying to get it were manipulative and they were not honest and they were not true to me. But as I've grown in the Lord, I've not only gained some approval from my Father, but I've also gained honor and respect from him as well. We often spar with our words, and I know that sounds like a silly thing, but we're like iron to iron. And he will share his ideas about what Scripture says with me, and I will share my ideas about what Scripture says with him, and we don't always come to agreement, but I don't ever let my dad's opinion affect what I know to be true about my relationship with God and who I am in him. Like when we nail down salvation, when we nail down the cross, when we nail down the resurrection, when we nail down the future promised to us by God, those things are very clearly the same. The doctrines are the same. We both believe in the Trinity. We both believe in eternal life. We both believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We both believe that Christ died to save us from our sins, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. We both believe that the Holy Spirit is here now with us, to empower us, to counsel us, to teach us, to remind us of the things that Jesus did. There's so much more. I don't have time to get into it today, but it's so good. But if I had set my father as an idol in my heart when he disagrees with me, it might push me away from the very thing that God wants to do in my life. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me on the narrow road, then you are not worthy of me. To find your life, you must lose your life, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's a call to radical commitment. Here's what the note written in the Voice Bible says. Jesus calls his disciples to a radical commitment. Those who truly follow Jesus must be willing to follow him to the point of death. Just as he will later die for his commitment to God and others, thus whether they die literally or figuratively, his followers give up their lives for him. Jesus says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who welcomes a prophet and surrenders to his prophecy will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who welcomes a righteous person and conforms to the righteousness that surrounds him and proceeds from him will receive a righteous man's reward. And anyone who has given so much as a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you, that person will be well rewarded. So good. So good. So what I want to say as we conclude today, that's the end of chapter 10, is that we've got to submit ourselves completely and wholeheartedly to God. We've got to be confident and secure in who He says we are, in the purpose that He's given us, in the plan He's made for our life. We've got to allow that purpose to flow out of our identity in Him and what we believe to be true about Him from His Word, from Scripture. And then we got to get out there and boldly live the experience of our knowledge of God by making our faith action. So that's what I want to pray for you today. Father God, the persecutors are going to come. Those who cry out heresy and false prophet will come. Those who question our ability to hear God or what we do hear, claim we hear from God, those people will come. But my confidence is in You. I believe You're sovereign. I believe that You're holy. I believe that You're immutable, meaning that You're unchangeable. I believe that You're righteous and just and true. I believe that You're love. I believe that You're omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipowerful. That all of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipowerful. That they are holy. That they are collectively one and expressed in three persons, three individual, distinct persons. I thank You, Father, for being my good daddy, for loving me, for speaking to my heart about the things that are true about me, for caring for me and providing for my needs. I pray You would continue to put favor on those within the sound of my voice and provide for them as well. Thank You, Jesus, for Your atoning work on the cross, for the way You demonstrated the life that we are to live as victorious Christians through Your own life here on earth, that You are not a jealous or a selfish God, but that You are a holy God, a just God, a righteous God, a God who is abounding in mercy and grace and slow to anger. I thank You, God, that Your will is being accomplished this very moment. That where we gather together, You are there in the midst of us. So Holy Spirit, I invite You to come to bring conviction where conviction is needed, to bring repentance where repentance is needed, to bring truth where truth is needed. Be our wonderful counselor. Remind us that of everything that Jesus said and did while He walked this earth. Empower us to walk boldly in our calling and what You have expressed in us and through our identity that will become our purpose as Your divine masterpiece. Well, thank you for tuning in today. I'm just going to pray that in Jesus' name and declare it to be true. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm so grateful that you stopped by and you gave some time. Be sure to let me know you're listening. Give me a word of encouragement. Drop a note in the comments on the blog. Subscribe to the podcast if you love it. You'll get the updates regularly. I'm right now on iTunes and Podomatic. I'm working on getting my podcast up in Google Music. And so as soon as that's up, I will be sure to let you know. Again, my website is michellebenthamcreates.com. You can find past episodes of my blog posts there. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Michelle Bentham, all one word, lowercase. On Twitter, it's @MichelleBentham. On Pinterest, it's Michelle Bentham. And on Instagram, it's Michelle Bentham. I am, again, on iTunes, Podomatic, and working on getting on Google Play. So glad you've joined in with me today. I pray that you are very blessed on this beautiful, warm June afternoon. I'm way ahead of myself. Yesterday was my birthday. Now I moved up into June, July. So anyway, I hope that you're having a blessed day, a blessed evening, that you're close to those you love, and God is expressing His heart to you. Until next time, this is Michelle Bentham. I'm going to sign off and say that's a wrap. All information shared on this podcast is Michelle Bentham Creates 2009-2016, all rights reserved. Music is by Ben Sound. The selection is Tenderness. That's bensound.com. And we're reading from the Voice Translation of the Bible, which is Thomas Nelson Publishers 2012. And I am grateful that you've dropped in. Bible translation is used for teaching purposes only. Have a great evening. Look back for us here again on Wednesday.